This is KCUR. The economic slowdown in China has spread financial pain around the world, especially among people who sell products there. That includes Midwestern soybean farmers, who typically export about a quarter of their crop to the Chinese. KCUR's Frank Morris reports.
Tall stands of corn and green soybean fields stretch for miles in the river bottomland around Langdon, Missouri. It's up in the northwest tip of the state, a long, long way from Beijing geographically and culturally, but economically, it's right next door.
I think about China all the time. China's the big player in the market.
Farmer Richard Oswald is talking about the market for the corn, and especially the soybeans he raises around here. Six generations of his family have scratched out a living from this land, but news of the economic slowdown in China scared him.
Worried for my living. Yeah, worried for my farm.
Because Chinese exports have helped Oswald's farm prosper.
There's the combine.
It's a brand new red one, a Case IH, the kind of thing that lists for about 300 grand.
To buy a combine, a farmer's got to have a certain price for his crop. He's got to have certain production and a certain price.
For years, farmers like Oswald enjoyed high soybean prices, $12, $13, $14 a bushel. Now they've fallen below $9 a bushel. And Chad Hart, an ag economist at Iowa State University, says it's China.
I've watched soybean prices drop almost $2 over the past couple of months due to rumblings, you know, that China's slowing down and, the devaluation of their currency.
Which makes U.S. exports much more expensive. There's a lot of money at stake here. American farmers are the world's largest soybean exporters, and China is by far the biggest buyer. China buys other stuff from U.S. farmers too, wheat, corn, milo, cotton. But the value of soybean exports, about $14 billion last year, dwarf all the others combined. If that market collapsed, it would trigger a huge global decline in soy prices. But Jay O'Neill, an economist at the International Grains Program at Kansas State University, says he doesn't think soybean exports are all that threatened by the Chinese downturn.
It scares me more regarding my 401k retirement program than it does about agricultural exports.
Bedrock reason for this is pretty simple. China doesn't grow enough food to feed its huge and ever-growing population.
Number one concern in China is food security. So regardless of the strength or weakness of their currency, the Chinese government, first and foremost, will do everything possible to maintain food security.
Now, O'Neill says China does manipulate the market to protect domestic farmers, obstructing U.S. corn and cotton exports, for instance. But O'Neill says that soybeans, which Chinese meat producers need to feed their livestock, are another matter.
Things are always in a state of change when you're talking about China. There are very, very few constants so far, other than the fact that they keep importing very good volumes of soybeans.
And that fact was on parade recently in Des Moines, where U.S. and Chinese grain dealers obliged with polite applause as they inked deal after deal for a total of $5.3 billion worth of soybeans, about the equivalent of an entire year's crop from Iowa or Illinois, the top soybean-producing states. Chen Ying, the deputy director of the Chinese trade group, said it was a one-day record.
Now, let's applaud for this remarkable achievement. Thank you.
Well, Ms. Chen, thank you for that wonderful news.
Economist Chad Hart says the deal signing ceremony wasn't so much news as stagecraft.
It's more a political play or a PR play than a gigantic sale itself.
Hart says the more serious problem with the Chinese slowdown may take a while to hit. 20 years ago, U.S. farmers hardly sold any soybeans to China. Chinese consumers have since gotten steadily and dramatically richer. They can afford pork and poultry. And those Chinese pigs and chickens must first eat a lot of soy meal, creating a huge and lucrative market.
We've gotten used to this trend of steady growth coming out of China. If that's going to start slowing down, that means demand slowing down.
Back on the farm, that's exactly what's bugging Richard Oswald.
As we become more integrated with other nations, we tie our fate to their fate.
Which is why Corn Belt farmers are watching China so closely these days. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Frank Morris.